everybody. This is episode 399 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast, one episode away from 400. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and it's been a pretty crazy week or so, and I don't really know where to begin, so I think I'll just start with the bottom and move my way up, because that's the way to do it. Get the crap out of the way right from the get-go. And so I'm going to start with my little visit to the dentist, because we all know that dentists are the worst and the spawns of Satan, which isn't to say that dental employees are bad people. They're not. Dental hygienists, the dentists themselves, receptionists, everyone who works at a dental office is perfectly fine and often nice. However, going to the dentist is the worst experience I actively partake in all year round. I can't think of anything I do on purpose that is worse than going to the dentist. And the reason for this is because, one, I just have a dumpster for a mouth. My mouth is a dumpster fire hellhole that, despite brushing multiple times a day, flossing after every big meal, after my breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and using prescription fluoride toothpaste or whatever it is, and various mouthwashes and all this crap, I cannot remember the last time I left a cleaning without there being one issue or another. I have enough crowns in my mouth to make the royal family look like a single person. That didn't go as well as I thought, that analogy. But my mouth is just garbage. And the dental office is the only place I can think of that every time I go to, I feel fine when I get there, and when I leave, I feel like shit. On multiple levels, I feel like shit because they've just ripped the shit out of my mouth with the cleaning, and sometimes the cleaning's not that bad, but there are times where it's like, whoa, you went to town on me. And on top of that, I feel like shit because of the news I get, whether it's, oh, we're going to have to give you another crown, and it's just the cost of it, and not so much the pain of a crown or cavities. Cavities are fine. They're not fine. I would much rather not want them, but the process of getting them and all that is not painful. But crowns are annoying because of the period before getting the permanent one, where you have a temporary crown and you have to be cautious around that and not have it pop out and then have to go back to get it put back in. That's just a bit annoying, especially since I am a heavy gum chewer because I am very antsy. I'm not ADHD, but I do have a very strong bit of hyperactivity where I need to be doing something. I'm a fiddler, so I have a restless knee syndrome and all that, and I fiddle my fingers a lot at my sides and whatnot, and I'm always chewing gum when not eating or stuff like that for the most part. But yeah, I just don't like that temporary period with crowns. I don't like the cost of them either. But what I really hate about the process of getting crowns or cavities done is the numbing of the mouth, because I guess everyone's different in terms of sensitivity, but for me, I am apparently very sensitive to whatever they use, and therefore, my mouth stays numb for hours and hours, like maybe 4 hours, I'd say, on average, is how long it stays numb to some degree or another. And that is just annoying, because after I get the work done, maybe an hour after, I probably am going to want to eat lunch or so, depending on what time I have the appointment. I like to do them early and get them out of the way. So that just makes eating a bit annoying and takes away a bit of the enjoyment of food. But it's just annoying that that elongated period of having a mouth that feels funny and you can't feel all of it, and being body dysmorphic and already hating my face and my body, having that, I just feel like, oh, you can noticeably see how my one part of my face is droopier, a little puffier. I look even uglier than I already do. And that's not fun. So, yeah, I had a very great visit to the dentist where they did a small cavity and then a bit of deep cleaning because they noticed some of my gum lines or whatever were too low. So they numbed around the back top of my mouth, and then just the hygienist went to town and she showed me these little like corn kernels, really thin little, maybe 2 millimeter, 2 square millimeter pieces of whatever she puts. I don't know if they went under the gum, if like she does whatever she's doing to allow her to put that under the gum, and then when it reacts to the saliva, it turns into gel and moves out a bit. But that happened in 3 spaces, and it left me sore for longer than I was expecting, and more sore than I was expecting, so much so that I had to take aspirin afterwards because it was very annoying. Not so much painful in a usual sense or whatever, but just really annoying to chew. And given that I chew gum a lot, like I said earlier, I just would rather not have that annoyance when I'm chewing my gum and eating. So the 2 following days, I had to take aspirin. And then the next day, I didn't need aspirin except once when it kind of got annoyed again, but for the most part that day was fine. And the first 2 nights I didn't sleep all that well. I probably got 2 hours of sleep before having to wake up, if that. And I can only assume it was because of the soreness, because when I woke up my mouth was especially sore feeling, and that was annoying because I already don't sleep that well, and sleeping that poorly is just like a slap in the face that I already get slapped in every night. But then the 3rd night, I thought, oh, great, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. A good night's sleep for me, at least. And what happened was I ended up waking up around 11 o'clock to the sudden shock of my bulletin board that's hanging right above my bed, falling flat right on top of my nose. And that was really annoying and startling and more painful than I was expecting as it landed on my big fat Sicilian nose. And I don't know if it is just a factual thing or if it's the mind playing tricks on me or my body waking me up in an attempt to try and prevent the thing from happening. But I swear I woke up a second or less before the bulletin board actually made contact with my nose, and not after. I do not believe the pain of the collision is what woke me up, but that I woke up a second or less before the actual collision so that I would not only feel the pain, but the pain of the collision, the actual collision, as well as just the shock of it all. And that's annoying. But moving on, as I've talked about the dentist and post-dental experiences long enough, I want to talk about something that was probably actually worse than that this past week, and that was my little interaction with Xbox support. So my warranty on my Xbox One S ended the 26th of September, and I was waiting until the last minute to set up a repair so that I could still keep the console for as long as possible, given that, you know, you have to send out your console and then wait what I was seeing on average seemed to be about 6 weeks to actually get it back from sending it and then doing the repairs and then you getting your console back. And that was just a very long time for me to be without an Xbox. But then, I don't know how I came across it, I found out about this advanced exchange program where they send you an Xbox One S, or, you know, Xbox One, whatever model you have, they send you a replacement, one they've already refurbished, and then you send them back yours in the box they send the replacement in, and the only thing about it is that they will have to place a hold on your credit card for the amount of the console in the case that you tried to rip them off and not send back your busted console. And so I went through the process of requesting this with, and this was, I thought I was in for a great time. I thought it was going to be a wonderful experience because the person I connected to on support, their name was Mark, M-A-R-K, last initial C, last name initial C. And I am Mark, M-A-R-C, last name initial K. And I was like, so it's Mark C and Mark K. And it was just, I thought it was a match made in heaven. And the experience was going fairly well. And it took longer than I would have liked to get to the point where the repair was set up and everything. And then he, you know, just confirmed, you know, if I won all this. And I asked him, once I send back my defective console, the charge will, the hold will be taken off, and I won't be charged for anything, not shipping, anything, no fees at all. And he's like, yeah, that's right. And he told me the amount of the hold they would put on, and I was like, fine, yeah, that's fine. I have more than enough credit to handle that hold. And then I got two notifications from my bank about two separate charges. One for the amount he mentioned was like $4 more, whatever. And then one for, I think, $16.09, which was for an advanced exchange fee or something. And before he was ready to cut off the conversation and our interactions, I was like, wait, hold on for a second. So I just got emails about these two charges, and then so I asked him, will I be refunded for both of these? And this is the point where I started to get really pissed off, was his response and how he worded it. Because he basically said, no, you're not going to get refunded for that $16. And he called me buddy. He's like, no, you're not going to get that because that's for the shipping, buddy. And, you know, that's not refundable. That's the goal. I don't remember how he worded it, other than he said that was for the shipping, the cost of shipping. And he called me buddy. And that really pissed me off. And I was like, don't call me your buddy. We're not buddies. And the way you worded it is a little bit condescending, and you're getting a little snarky, and I don't need your snark now, especially when you just lied to me. And then we were going back and forth that lasted maybe an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, of me being like, no, cancel this repair right now. And he's like, you know, let me just look into this some more and blah, blah, blah. And then I have to wait. And then he's telling me, I'm sorry about this. I pointed him out to the part in our conversation where I asked him if there are any fees. And he said no. And then, you know, to go back and blah, blah, blah. And then he was telling me, okay, we can refund you that if you just, when we send you off the console, you just refuse it, and then it'll come back to us, and then we'll, I'm like, why do you have to do that? You just set up the repair, just cancel it, and take it all back. I don't want any of this. I don't, because you did not tell me about this. And eventually, because of his screw up and all that, they did agree to refund that, as well as, you know, the already planned hole they're going to take off, of course. So I'm not going to be charged anything. Yeah, he already refunded the $16 right away. But that just turned into a 2+ hour nightmare that started off really fine, other than it was taking its time. And I just love the fact that his name was M-A-R-K, last name initial C. I thought it was like this sign from heaven, and I was wrong. But Yeah, that was an adventure. And he also called me Marcus in the post-buddy part of the interactions. He called me Marcus, I think, a few times, which pissed me off because he asked me my name in the very beginning. I said Mark, M-A-R-C, and I in no way ever said my name was Marcus, and I really hate that. I hate it when anyone calls me Marcus. I haven't been called Marcus in years because my name is Mark. On my birth certificate, on any form of identification, you will never see Marcus ever. It is Mark, M-A-R-C. It's not short for anything. It is Mark, M-A-R-C, because when my father was like, hey, you should name him Mark, my mom was like, well, if we're going to name him Mark, let's name him M-A-R-C like Mark Chagall. And that's how it happened. And there was never any, okay, he's Marcus. Nope, just Mark. Mark, Mark, Mark. So that was another wonderful adventure. Not really. And when I'm thinking about it now, I'm not working from worst to best, from bottom to top, because the worst thing that happened was my realization that Facebook deleted my partner in life's profile page, the wonderful being that I was married to. They deleted their page, and I am sad to say to everyone that Oatmeal is no longer part of Facebook. They deleted their profile that I put so much work into so that I could show everyone who I was married to on Facebook, and now they're gone, and I'm just another single idiot on Facebook, and I'm very depressed by that. When I found that out, I was very, very sad, because I just randomly checked my profile, went to my details and info and saw that it just said I was married, but not married to anyone in particular. And I was like, wait, I married Oatmeal. I made a point of that. And now I'm married to no one. I set up such a wonderful profile for Oatmeal, too. Gave him a school and all these things. They were working at the Quaker factory or something. It was wonderful. And now it's nothing. And I'm all sad about it. But moving on to some more important things. Stuff that people really want to hear about. Some video games. So I finally played Distrust, which is available on PC. It is on Steam for $11.99, Windows and Mac. And it is a game that is inspired by The Thing from, 1980, John Carpenter's The Thing, with, you know, all the greatness that it is. And it is a game where you are trying to survive through five different areas. You're in a cold environment. And I'll just read a little bit of the description from the Steam page. A helicopter crash left a group of explorers stranded near an Arctic base. As they try to find a way back, all they are doing is sinking deeper into a nightmare scenario. When they sleep, they attract a terrifying force that sucks the life out of their bodies, but the longer they battle exhaustion and stay awake, the less likely they are to survive. And it's a simple game. It's the camera's pulled back. You can zoom in a little bit, and you can zoom out a little bit. You can't zoom out as far as I'd like. It's an isometric view, so like a three-quarters angled camera view. And you are in these five different areas trying to open the door to the next area, and sometimes you will have to you'll either just have to get through a doorway that is blocked off by a toxic gas and you have to find a suit to get through there. You'll have to flip switches, or you'll have to turn on generators and stuff like that to activate a door or open it. And in these environments that are all randomly generated and not that big, there are various buildings. Some are locked, some are open, some are already heated, some are already, they already have electricity. Some will have, you know, kitchens or bedrooms, offices, medical supply areas, and all that kind of jazz. And it's not bad. It's a roguelike, so the game is definitely out to get you. It's not your friend. You can play it in a more casual mode. I haven't tried that because I don't see the point in doing that. Maybe after playing through some of the regular challenge mode more, where you actually get to unlock stuff and new characters and all that, I would maybe mess around with that just to mess around a little worry-free. But you're going through these environments, these areas, looking for supplies. You can find planks that you can use for heating rooms, and you can find different tools that will help you get through closed doors or doors that are blocked by snow, like shovels, axes, crowbars, various foods, which will provide you with some nourishment, though, of course, cooking them provides you more, coffee beans, bandages, medical supplies, coats, weapons, traps, and you're more so fighting the elements and hunger and sleep deprivation than actual enemies, because the enemies in the game, they seem to maybe sometimes show up randomly, but more so if you sleep and sleep too long in one go, or at times you will be given, and this is part of the difficulty of the game, is that you will have things that pop up that give you two choices, whether to play it safe or try something that may give you extra benefits but could lead to some bad outcomes with a roll of a coin, a flip of a coin. And the anomalies aren't all that scary and don't do all that much. They're basically these floating orbs that are elemental in one way or another, whether it's electricity or ice, etc. And you can defeat an ice one by luring it into a cold area and then quickly, before it can get out, trapping it and heating up the place. So that, you know, and it is an example of a way you can do it. And you can shoot them with guns if you have a gun and have ammo. But for the most part, I didn't find the anomalies to be that much of a burden or that problematic. I didn't have to deal with them all that much, and they weren't as big of an annoyance as I would have expected. And there's no kind of antagonist that is actively able to interact or inhabit or take over any of your team members or other creatures or people in the game world, because you start off the game with just two characters. You can unlock the ability to take in the third as you finish the game in one way, and you unlock characters as you play, and they all have various skills. Some can move faster, some can run faster, some can do something else faster, maybe are better withstand the cold. And they all come with different starting items that can help you in certain ways. Some already have gas cans, etc. And in all these areas, you're always just alone, you and your other teammate, your two members, except for you will at some point come across a downed human who you can resurrect and bring along with you if you have the supplies to do so. But there isn't any kind of actual distrust in the game, which I think hurts the game, even though it's decent. The mechanics of it all, and going around collecting everything, fighting the resources, is solid. But when it right up front says that it's inspired by The Thing and is called distrust, you expect there to be some kind of distrust system in it where you're teammates will at points or eventually distrust each other, or that they have to at times do things together, whether it's, you know, picking up a large object, they have to work together, and if they don't trust each other, they won't be able to do it, and you have to find a way to regain their trust or do something like that. But there is nothing like that in the game, to my knowledge. I haven't, in my 6-ish hours playing the game, I haven't run into anything like that. The only thing that happens is that if you don't feed them, or they're too sleep deprived for too long or whatever, they will start to, one, lose their main health, which if it drops all the way, they will die, or they will go down and you can revive them if you have supplies, unless they both go down and then there's nobody to do that and it doesn't matter. But they will get random characteristics like white noise, where they can no longer hear anything, and when you are controlling that character, the game is just completely silent, which is a cool little thing. And it's also, I think the visuals are a bit distorted. There's one where they just start randomly quoting Shakespeare, which does nothing other than in like one of the bottom corners, it will pop up with sort of a Shakespearean type of quote or dialogue, which I guess could be amusing, but it doesn't affect their ability to do anything, and it doesn't affect the other character in the game. So it's just sort of this kind of cutesy thing that has no effect on the actual game. There's one where they start sort of hallucinating, which is has more of an effect on it, and other ones as well. But I think while it's a solid game of, it's a solid survival game where, you know, you have to collect resources, do what you have to do in an area to advance to the next area until you clear all five areas. And it can be a bit more brutal as you progress. And it's a very luck of the draw game where you could start off and the first level could just be full of nothing for you. And you're screwed because there's no guarantee any area is going to have a place for you to sleep, and you can't sleep on the floor. So if there's no bed or sofa, you're screwed. You can't sleep. And the only other way I've seen to regain stamina is through coffee. And there's no guarantee you'll find coffee. So that definitely adds to the, I mean, it just makes it a game where you could end up with a lucky roll of the die and get good areas with a lot of resources and all the buildings are already heated and all that jazz. Or you could get the complete opposite, which is a very common thing in many roguelikes, especially the survival type. And it's all solid. I enjoyed my time with it, and I'm going to play some more. I'd like to finish the game. I haven't beaten the game yet. But I do think the title and the fact that first and foremost they say that they're inspired by The Thing does hurt it, because it doesn't feel like The Thing except for where it takes place, except for the location and all that. The fact that it takes place in this Arctic area, you know, this frozen tundra, whatever, that is what makes it, and just the visuals, it makes it look like The Thing. But once you play it, you realize that it doesn't, it's not as thing-like as it might say it is or want to believe it is. But it's still a solid game. I just think once you get past that, or if you go into it not expecting that, you'll have a better outcome. There's also, though, a bit of controversy with the game I've come to realize when I was looking at the discussion boards and whatnot. There is apparently a contest where, and you get, it's a sort of in-game lore that there is this ticket, a lottery ticket or whatever, in-game. And if you find the five pieces in it, you unlock an achievement. And if you unlock that achievement between or before November, so it's before November 30th, 2017, if you unlock that achievement, you will have a chance to win a 10-day cruise that is, it's an Antarctic cruise. And the controversy is that this is only for people who are, only for residents of, I believe, the United States and Russia. And that's pissed off a lot of people, because there are people playing the game who are, and yes, it is only adult residents of the USA and Russia, and it's pissing off a lot of people because they want to win. They want a chance to win it, especially if they're devoted enough to the game and get that achievement. They want to win it, and the fact that they can't pisses them off. And I don't know why it's only for them, if it just is that getting contests to work in all territories is a lot of difficulty. I know that there's definitely difficulty with with contests and ones that have prizes and stuff like that. I know that there's a lot of sort of just legalities with it all that is more difficult than people might expect. But yeah, I thought it was a bit amusing. And also, I just think I don't understand why people are that upset, because if you still really like the game, who cares? I mean, if you bought the game because you knew that the contest was happening and you bought it now because of that, and you... I just don't see why you would ever play a game for a contest like that. It just seems stupid. I wouldn't. If I want to play a game, I want to play it because I like it. And maybe everyone who's playing it does like it. They just don't like the fact that they're feeling like, well, they are a devoted fan of the game, an early adopter, and they're supporting them, and they feel like they're being left out in the cold. Get it? In the cold? But, yeah, I think Distrust is worth checking out. It's not too bad at $11.99. That's a decent price. And, like I said, it's a solid survival game with plenty to keep you playing and going back to try and do more. And there's a solid cast of maybe 12 or 15 characters to choose from once you unlock them all. And yeah, it sucks that it throws out the thing in your face right at the first light. It's just like, we love the thing. This is all about the thing. This is inspired by the thing. It's like the thing, and it really isn't. But moving on, I also tried the Project Octopath Traveler demo on Switch. It was the first time I played the Switch in months. I had to dust off. And I have not played the Bravely Default games, the Bravely series of games. And I know this is from the same producers of those games, so I can't comment on that. But from what I played, I really liked it. It's a very traditional JRPG, turn-based strategy type of RPG with the battles, where you have your battle timeline of whose turn it is, your turn order, and you have various attacks and all that jazz. But what I really like about it is that, one, it is gorgeous. It is this, whatever they're calling it, this hybrid of pixel art and CG and 2D, HD, whatever. It's just sort of this 3D pixel art aesthetic that is reminiscent of the early days of gaming, but it's doing things that those games would not be able to do, especially in the lighting. I think where the game really shines and how it makes it all stand out and pop is with the lighting. The lighting is fantastic in the game. It looks gorgeous. I love the look of it. And what surprised me a lot with the game immediately off the bat was how much actual voice acting was in it. And it's, for the most part, pretty good, especially the ancillary characters. The characters who aren't that important, they all sound pretty good. I also like the fact that it feels somewhat Dragon Age Origins-esque, in that you have, I believe, 8 characters, only 2 in the demo, who, when you pick one of them, they will have their own story and their own starting area, and I assume that at a point you will meet up with other characters, other of the starting characters. But I like the fact that they all have their own origins, their own stories that are unique to themselves, and I don't know if they'll all be very, very different, but the 2 in the demo, you have your sort of fallen knight, and then your young turned vixen dancer who is seeking revenge for the murder of her father. They're very different stories with very different characters, and I just like that about this. The stories and the writing is very good so far, and both stories, especially the one with Primrose, the dancer, has me really interested in seeing more of it. And the difference that the characters have is in this way they can interact with NPCs. Because I thought maybe there'd be different gameplay styles to some degree, but I found out that you're no matter who you pick, you're going to end up in the turn-based combat. They just are, you know, they have their different abilities. Some are more action and weapon-based. The dancer has a dagger or something, but can also call upon black magic or something. And the way they're different, though, is in how they interact with NPCs when they're moving through towns or whatever. The knight can challenge almost anyone. He can't challenge kids. I tried. Didn't work. To a duel, which will give you some XP and just basically allow you to train up and whatnot. It might increase your reputation. I'm not sure. And then the dancer can lure, I guess not just men, but people to follow her. And I'm not sure what the point of that is, other than in the demo, you lure, you are tasked with luring a person to the bar you work at so that you can make some more money to get off the hook with the slimy owner who, because the game has the typical, when the voice acting isn't there, you have your bits of dialogue and then they just have little grunts or whatever, and he's like blah, 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 blah. He does something like that, which is really gross and is great for making you hate him. So I hated that guy, but that was the only use so far I've had with the luring from her, the dancer. So I'm not sure what that will do in the actual game, if you just lure people to things so that you can get information out of them, or you can lure them to follow you and then use them in combat. I'm not sure. So I'll be interested in seeing more of that. But from what I played, I think it just looks gorgeous. Music is solid. Didn't really stand out, but I just love the visuals. I thought the stories were well written and the characters were interesting, especially Primrose, the dancer. And I'm interested in seeing more. And if all eight characters have these unique stories, at least to a point in the beginning, and if playing through the game multiple times, depending on who you start with, will lead to different outcomes in the big overarching story, or you know, if it's basically Bravely Default, which I just never played because I don't know why. I think maybe the first game, I don't know if it was a DS game, but that probably came out near the end of the DS when I was already over that. And then the 3DS is just a system that never completely caught on with me because of poor battery life, and then the XL was just too big to really take with me. It was never a pocket device. So I just kind of fell off, and I hate a 3D. 3D is not for me. It gives me headaches, and I just don't see the point of it. But it was a series I always wanted to play, never got around to. I like that traditional turn-based RPG battle system. And if it's basically just a traditional JRPG with beautiful visuals, a well-written story, and structured in the same way Dragon Age Origins is, I'm all in. And if it is like that, that means the game is going to have so many hours of content and the ability to replay it multiple times that it's, if it comes together, it is going to be a very, very, very nice package. I'm really surprised by the demo, and I'm excited to see where the game goes from here. And while it has a weird pre-title, I kind of hope it keeps the title because it is so odd. It just stands out. You can also just call it Pot. You play that Pot game? I love that Pot game. Project Octopath Traveler. Oh, that Pot game. Love that Pot. But, yeah. So, I like that demo. And it was weird playing the Switch again. But it was nice. It was nice. Especially since I just think that game is gorgeous. I can't get over that, especially the lighting. The lighting and the colors and just the artwork in general. It is a very, very well put together game in terms of art design and just from a technical standpoint. It is very, very pretty, and I just want to see more of it, and I'd like to see other games do that. But I can't say enough about the lighting, more so than anything. The lighting, it really is what makes everything pop and stand out. So yeah, that's Project Octopath Traveler. If you have a Switch, I don't even know if I ever mentioned the Switch until the end, and I don't know if I actually said Switch or called it my 3DS, but if you have a Nintendo Switch, definitely try out the demo, because what else are you going to play? I mean, there's plenty of stuff, but it's all indie games you've played elsewhere. So, and anyone who's, I don't understand people who are acting like the Switch is this amazing platform with all these games, when it's really just another Vita at this point. It doesn't have that many unique games, unless I'm missing things. It has a lot of indie games that are available on other platforms and all that, and games that have come out earlier on other platforms. Whatever. That will do it for today's episode. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Huznes. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Mine on My List, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am TheKush3. On Switch, I am I don't know what. It's a bunch of numbers. It's on the site. Just find my name and click it, and then you'll get it. And the site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can sign. You can find my profile that has my Switch info in there, and you can add me as a friend there. But you can also check out this podcast, as well as Pixelator Radio and the Pixelator Paranormal Podcast, and all the art I do, which if you'd like to see all of it in one place, go over to pxsart.com and check it out all over there, where you can also find links to where you can purchase prints of the pieces you like. And if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, please go over to patreon.com/pxs and chip in a buck or two that away. So, next episode's a big 400. What am I going to do? Something special? Absolutely not. It's probably going to be worse than this. I feel like this is a pretty good episode, and I'm feeling bad. I feel like I should just hold this one off and put some garbage in for $3.99, because how is 400, this epic 400th episode, ever going to top this surprisingly solid and I think longer than expected episode? I don't know. But we will find out. Bye, bye. Oh, wait, no, I don't. I have to first say to everyone, I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I've had a wonderful week so far. If you're in my neck of the woods, the Chicago area, or I guess just the Midwest and East Coast, I hope you are enduring the heat and are looking forward to the cool down that is coming soon. So now I can really say, bye.